A very warm and lovely and nice welcome to you all. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show coming at you live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of New Zealand. It's Auckland in the slave South Pacific. Speaking of slaves, as we're all about to be, Monsanto now owns Blackwater, which of course renamed themselves Z as in X-E. What does that mean? Extra extermination for short, I think. Yeah. It sounds about right. A report by Jeremy Scahill in The Nation, Blackwater's Black Ops, 15th of the 9th, 2010, revealed that the largest mercenary army in the world, Blackwater, now called Z Services — they had to rename them because people thought Blackwater was a... it had a bad reputation because they were just killing people in Iraq for no absolutely no reason, taking drugs, running around naked, launching rocket attacks against cars and stuff like that. They were just waiting in traffic, you know. So that they had... Oh, wow! Everybody says Blackwater's a bad name. So instead of actually not acting like a bunch of sociopaths, pathetic criminal scum and psychopaths, let's just change our name. And it works well. It works well, indeed. I wonder how many other corporations have actually had to change their name because of their scumbaggery. Interesting. Clandestine intelligence services was sold to the multinational Monsanto. Blackwater was renamed in 2009 after becoming famous in the world with numerous reports of abuses in Iraq, including massacres of civilians. It remains the largest private contractor of the U.S. Department of State Security Services that practices state terrorism by giving the government the opportunity to deny it. Many military and former... Think about this. Why would a food company like Monsanto be keen to be buying mercenaries out? Just think about that. Think about the food bill that I told you about earlier, how we talked about weapons-drawn raids on people's homes when you're just giving a few sunflower seeds to your neighbour in a trade, okay? These are the people that are going to be doing it, them or similar scumbaggery, okay? Make no effing mistake. This is what they're planning to do, and they will do it unless it's exposed first, because it's under the light of public scrutiny that all of their plans you seem to become unraveled. I have a very special guest on the line, ladies and gentlemen, a controversial character. His name is Dallas. He goes by the handle Dallas Goldbug. His real name is Ed something. He's on the line with us now. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Could you explain to the listeners just a little bit about yourself, and obviously to me too, because I'm not overly familiar with you.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm just an average person. You know, I have a little bit of a background in the conspiracy world. I worked on two JFK books that went bestseller back when I was early on in my life, when I was 15 and 19. But I really didn't go into that field. I went into the corporate field, and you know, I worked for Halliburton for a year as a web developer for them, basically as a head web developer. And I worked for freelance for different companies all throughout my life when it came to web print and multimedia design. I went to the Air Force for a while, so I have a background in avionics. But when I got out, just basically recently, the thing that caused me to go into this whole field that we're doing now is the Gabriel Giffords shooting. When I saw that, the videos of that shooting, I knew that something was wrong. There was something that just didn't look right. And my background when it comes to image editing and when it comes to validating if a photograph or a video is authentic, I started to apply that to what I saw. And what I saw wasn't what the official story was. So that started me into a whole direction of analyzing the official stories of what we've been told recently. And while I was doing that, I uncovered about 5,000-plus photos of personal family photos that a well-known family had put online accidentally, I believe. And when I started to look at those individuals, they happened to be one of the elite families. And I started seeing more and more of the faces in that those pictures show up on the news as over and over again, and they're basically their family members. So after a while of seeing this and analyzing more and more video of different events that had nothing to do with Gabrielle Giffords, I started to see this family was taking part in a massive lie, and they have ties to the government and people that are in their family under different names that are senators, and it's crazy. But so that took me down that path, and that's where I guess we are today.
Okay, well, let's keep wandering down the crazy path, and tell us a little bit about this madness. Elaborate on it.
Sure. This family is, Maurice Greenberg is basically the head of the family, and you will know him from AIG, the ex-CEO of AIG, who had to plead the fifth during that scandal. Well, when you look at the photographs that I found, and you can make the family tree from the photographs, because some of them are labeled, some of them aren't, but some of these individuals are public figures, so you can see them on the Hamptons websites and these party sites that they go to, where the elite go and they have their photographs taken, you know, Rockefellers and things like that. So using that and using their Facebook accounts, I put together a family tree that outlined pretty much this entire family. And every single one of the members of this family you can find in playing roles as an actor in basically all your news events. So it blew my mind, and of course, I looked at this and said, this can't be right. But using ear biometrics and analysis of the ears, we can match these individuals and we can say that they are the same individuals. So they're basically actors. Now, what does that really mean? Well, there's individuals, for example, the JonBenet Ramsey case. The mother in that case is basically a U.S. representative. And she also plays the same role. She plays Dominique Strauss-Kahn's wife in the media. And when you look at these ears, you look at this person, it's the same person. So she's acting in all these events. Now, is she a real U.S. representative? Yes, she is. So why is she doing this acting on the side? Or is she just an actress, period? And she's acting as another role as our U.S. rep. So, you know, there's a lot of questions that have to be answered, but we can say for certain that these individuals are the same people that are playing roles as actors.
Okay, so what's their motivation? Because you know how an actor will always go to the director. Director, what's my motivation?
Well, I mean, you're asking me to speculate. I don't know, because my whole background is I try not to speculate about things because there's no need for that when we can ask these people that same question. But I basically used the photographic evidence, that's hard evidence, that we can, once we've analyzed the photograph and shown that it's authentic, we can use that as something that we can take to court, or we can force a grand jury indictment to get some people in there to ask those questions to them in particular. So, you know, for me to speculate, I don't know, but, you know, it always comes down to money and control and power. So that's basically what I would say.
Well, that's the classic game, isn't it?
It's always been, and I guess always will be. But I would say, probably, if you're asking me for my opinion on that, I would say be more control, and that is basically to control us and also to control their future as being in control of us. Period. So they're manipulating basically the public perception of everything that we basically see and hear and think is true when it's not. And they're doing that with the underlying tone of removing the guns from the population, and also just basically getting rid of the free speech. Along with that, these individuals also trying to provoke the population into acting out in a violent manner towards the law enforcement, which, of course, would be a totally bad thing to do. So I make sure that I tell people that don't fall for that gambit and make sure that it's peaceful non-compliance, but just be aware of what they're doing.
So can we elaborate on the Gabby Lee Giffords case? Because this was a huge story, what looked like some kind of crazed mind control operative, basically, in the name of Jared Lee Loeffner. And, of course, he's got three names, just like every alleged lone gunman comes in out of nowhere, shoots her.
Yeah,
but he doesn't kill her. He actually kills a judge that, incidentally, is really, really good for the United States.
Well, if you
in terms
find
of gun control and all of that kind of thing, you know, states' rights, allegedly. So, you know, you can see a clear agenda there, but you've got a different perspective on this in terms of somebody actually being an actor in that case.
sure. Actually, the investigation I did on Gabriel Giffords' event, basically I can boil it down to a few photographs, and one in particular that people really do remember is the photograph of Gabe Hernandez alongside of the stretcher going to the ambulance. Gabe was the one, if you remember, he said that while he was standing there, the gunshots took place. He went over to Gabriel Giffords and propped her up on his chest and applied direct pressure with his bare hands on the wound to stop the bleeding until the EMS got there. So when you look at this photograph of Gabe alongside the stretcher with the EMS on both ends, you'll notice one thing that they forgot. There's no blood on him. There's no blood anywhere except for a couple drops on the face and a couple drops on a cloth that's on her face. Now, if you know what a head wound, head trauma looks like, anybody that's worked in the ER can tell you that your head bleeds profusely when you cut it. So with a through wound of a 9mm round, that's hollow tip, and you're telling me that he didn't even get blood on his hands that he applied direct pressure to the wound with? I mean, right there, you look at that and you go, well, something's not right. It doesn't add up. So further investigation led me to a program in the Department of Homeland Security called an active shooter FSE, or a full-scale event. And when we found some documents, they've been doing this for a while now, they do these full-scale events with multiple agencies, and they do a drill, and they have actors. You can actually go to the Homeland Security their website and download the actor's waiver form, and it tells you exactly what you're supposed to wear and when you're supposed to show up to these events. So when you look at that and you consider the other photographs that are involved in the Gabriel Giffords event that are totally in line with what you see at an FSE, you then understand that that was a drill. Nobody was killed that day, and there is no such person as Jared Loughner. And there's other ways to prove that, too, which we can get into.
Continue.
Oh, well, one of the other ways that you can definitely prove it, and I'll say for your listeners to go and can check this out, in Arizona they have a victim's compensation fund. And that basically is a fund that pays for your medical or your funeral if you're subject to a violent crime. This is an automatic thing when you go to the hospital. They have it here in Texas, too. If you're a victim of a violent crime, when you get to the hospital and you try to pay them, on your way out they say, no, it's already been taken care of. And that's where you'll learn about, basically, because nobody knows about this victim's compensation fund until you actually experience this. And they take care of it and they pay for your medical expenses. So what happens, how they do that, is if you go to the Arizona government website, you can download the victim's compensation forms, and you'll see the procedures on there that they go through to in order to ensure that they're going to get their money back from the person that's accused of this violent crime. And the way they do that is they put a lien on the prisoner. Automatically, the DA puts a lien, a $1,500 lien on that person as soon as they get into the jail. Now, if there's no lien filed, then there is no prisoner. And you'll notice there is no lien filed for Jared Loughner. There is no records for him, period.
So he doesn't exist?
Doesn't exist. Now, he's a fictitious character. And also, if you'll see in the explanation document, you'll see they give a name of a person that's supposedly the gunman. And if you look at Jared Loughner, he matches this. His whole family profile matches exactly what they create as a fictitious character that's supposed to be doing this crime. I mean, it's absurd. So I also took the mugshot photographs that you remember. There was two separate mugshot photographs. One came out, the first one looks like Uncle Fester, and then the second one comes out where he's not as crazy looking. Well, through the investigation that I did, I released a video about this. The face is actually a person named Brandon Lee Pittman, and the actual head and the rest of the face, the rest of the person is Kenny Bloomberg. Now, how do I know this? Well, after looking at the photographs, of course, we can match the ears up, but we know that Brandon Lee Pittman played the Jared Loughner role because he also is part of a film production company in Arizona named Radiant Helix Media. And these guys, all the people that are involved in that company, play roles in the Gabriel Giffords event. And I found them through a central point of contact, which is a partner in their company named Dave Bice. And when you look at Dave Bice's Facebook friends list, you will see not only the Gabriel Giffords crew, but you will see all the SEAL Team 6 members. You will see several of the missing teens across the United States, like Holly Bobo. You will see an enormous amount of individuals that are involved in the mainstream media events that we think are real, but they're not, and they're actors.
Okay. So I don't quite understand the whole agenda here. I mean, having these people involved in these events, these actors and things of that nature, how does that relate to an agenda of control, as you said?
Well, basically what it does is it undermines your logic and your reason. When you see this Gabrielle Giffords event, and of course, well, there's other things with her event when it comes to gun control and the free speech, which you mentioned, and that was immediately apparent as soon as the Sheriff Dubnyk comes out there and starts saying the vitriol speech and all that. And that was immediately threw flags when it came to me, because I'm looking at this going, there's no way that this guy is real, because he just poisoned the jury poll right there. He's giving out information that a normal situation when it came to a crime, the police would say that, you know, we can't comment on that because it's currently under investigation. Well, there was no investigation because it wasn't a crime, so they immediately started using this whole event to try to get the guns and do the free speech. So when you see the Gabrielle Giffords thing, and they continue to bring her out in the media and try to emphasize this shooting that didn't take place, and when you look at these photographs, it undermines your ability to see what's real and what's not. And to distinguish those two things, the TV is basically their tool that they use to dumb down America. And we see this constantly. So that's what a lot of these individuals are doing. They're taking part in that undermining of it's basically a perception management program.
False flags, basically, you know, you use them as the pretext for justification for other things. For example, Gabby Lee Giffords gets shot by some crazy guy with a gun, hence everybody who's a gun owner is incredibly dangerous, even though it's enshrined in the Second Amendment specifically for the reason of being able to take back your government if it turns tyrannical. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My special guest is Dallas Goldbug, and we'll be right back after this little break here. Go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and join us in the chat room. Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose
side are you on? What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health. Lawyers destroy justice. Universities destroy knowledge. Governments destroy freedom. The major media destroys information. And religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality. Anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
America.com reports gold prices rushed above $625 an ounce on bargain hunting in a weaker dollar today. Gold last traded at $1,632 an ounce, silver at $29.94. Well, I see the new Kansas City Fed president is worried about instability of the Fed policy. And author and futurist Lowell Ponte thinks we must put the golden handcuffs back on politicians. He was a guest on a Butler on Business radio show today. Lowell reminded Atlanta listeners that since Richard Nixon took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard, the cost of living is now 40 times higher than it was in 1971. And that says measured in relation to the price of gold. This inflation deception is clearly seen in higher prices, although it's masked by higher income, says Ponte. Face it, warns Ponte, politicians will never stop going in debt. Perhaps the best we can do is slow them down. We should expect massive taxation and massive inflation. More at SwissAmerica.com. Or toll free at 800-289-2646.
Warning. Warning. American. Warning. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. American Freedom Radio is habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Your life as it has been is over.
Radio Free Humanity on AFR. Listen to the Paradigm Shift. Saturday nights, 10 p.m. Central.
Bonkers.
Every pain in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let you give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Oh yeah, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. There's nothing crazy about me, apart from... Oh, unless, of course, you compared me to the mainstream establishment, okay? Because if your definition of the mainstream establishment is what is normal, what is sane, then obviously me speaking the truth and actually having some compassion for people and indeed actually wanting to listen to other people, then of course I'm insane. My very special guest is Dallas Goldbug. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Can you please continue on, because I wanted to talk about some of these differences and all these actors, and allegedly you found actually quite a swath of them, and they're all over the place.
Well, yeah, but the whole thing is they do have ties to a central location, which is Pima, Arizona, and they... For the most part of them, they are related to a few families that are basically intermarried to each other. So they do have a common bond. It's not just, it's not a lookalike situation where this person just happens to look like that person. I'm just picking them out of thin air. And these individuals are family members, basically. So, you, like I said, with the 5,000 photographs that I found, when you just go through them, you start to see faces at the face at the face that you show up on the mainstream media. And it just becomes, it totally rocks the foundation of everything that you believe, and come to find out that a lot of the things that you think that is true, it really isn't. So I tell people that, you know, you're going to take an emotional roller coaster ride when you start to see this information, because it'll take you through all the emotions. But I just want to let them know that, you know, even when you get mad and angry at this whole thing and you've been lied to for so long, the overwhelming feeling of a rush of joy comes to your senses as the weight is lifted off your shoulder, and you realize that the world is not as bad a place as they tricked us into believing it was.
Yeah. Well, I find that, that's basically the main story with absolutely everything, isn't it? You get brought up in the public education system, watching mainstream media. Once you grow up after that, it's essentially just different levels of brainwashing and enslavement that are all going back towards that central premise of don't question nothing, keep your head down, and don't try and think that you have any power to change the world.
Correct, yes. You know, that's the one thing that I've been feeling, their power that they do have when it comes to their censorship. And they removed my YouTube website, and they attacked my personal website, Wellaware One, where I have all this information up there. But, you know, and they were basically for a week there, it was throttled where you couldn't even get to it. It would take 10 minutes for a page to load. So they couldn't take me to court because they know they don't have a leg to stand on. And plus, if they were to do that, it would open up the door for this whole investigation to come right into the public, and they don't want that at all. So basically, the only way they can attack me is personally, or have their basically their COINTELPRO people put up just whatever videos about me, which I think is pretty funny. So they will never address the facts, and they will just attack me or just make fun of the whole situation and try to say the whole thing's crazy, which it is crazy, but it's unfortunately it's true.
Okay. So. What's your particular mission here? Are you just looking to expose the fact that there are actors that are in? I'm still a little bit lost and confused. This is kind of like I'm acting under the assumption this isn't the first time this has happened when you've told somebody about this, right?
Oh, well, of course, it happens a lot, but, you know, a lot of times all I do is tell them about the Gabriel Giffords event and show them that one image, the Gabe Hernandez image, and all of a sudden it clicks in their mind that they've been lied to, because it's obvious when it comes to that. And I try to explain to them that at that point when you realize the Gabriel Giffords event was a drill, and in that parking lot, when you see that there's no blood and you see it's a drill, everything from that point on is bogus. It's all information that they've fed you to make you believe that this event is actually real. And another thing that they do with this is, since this family, these families, are the ones behind creating these news events, you have to remember that they know what's going to happen when it comes to, let's say, the Gabriel Giffords event, and they mentioned the name Glock, the gun that was used. The stock on Glock went up 10% the following week. So they know that this is going to happen. So you can understand how that these individuals can remain elite and become so rich, because they're creating the news that is driving the markets. So it's an insider trading type of deal. But my whole mission is, I don't like being lied to, and nobody likes being lied to. But then when you see that these liars are people that are supposed to be your elected officials, that takes it to a whole other level. Now, an actor is fine. I enjoy a movie just like the next person, but I enjoy being entertained with it when I know it's entertainment. I don't like it when they are cross over that ethical boundary, where then they take part as basically a political activist, and they are selling a lie to the people and making us think something that's true is not. So at that point, I have a big problem with it, and I have a big problem with these people. And some people will say, well, they're mind-controlled to do it. No, they're not mind-controlled to do it. They didn't get mind-controlled to go cash their check. They didn't get mind-controlled to go buy something with that check. They did it because they chose to do it. It was their choice. So that, I have a problem, and I will call them out, and I will continue to call them out as liars until we can get these individuals out of basically our government and have some type of reform and make sure that this cannot happen again.
And do you have a website there?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a website?
Yes, it's WellAware with the number one, WellAware1.com.
WellAware1.com.
Yes, because all my YouTube accounts, they shut that down and they banned me. And they also banned me from Blip.TV. So, you know, you can see the internet censors at work.
And you've said to me a couple of times that if you had no evidence or whatever, they would take you to court and sue you, that kind of thing.
Well, for example, here's one of the recent ones. There was an individual online, and he was basically bashing me, calling me some CIA operative and whatever they can think of, just crazy things, instead of addressing the facts that the individuals were posting on his blog. Well, come to find out, they sent me a copy of his blog, and I looked at it, and immediately when I saw the avatar, this is the brother of one of the people that I've exposed, Mark Ballas. And at that point, I sent him a message, and I put you can see it on my website, you'll see the graphic I put up there, basically calling him out and, you know, saying, hey, look, you know, if you're going to slander somebody, you basically slandered me, but now you're using a fake name, I'm using my real name, so, you know, what's the problem here? He basically, these people are liars, and they're afraid to do anything about it, because if I was lying, they would sue me for slander. They would have me all over the place, just in courts, just totally sued and have no money left, period. But they don't, because I'm telling the truth. And they do not want to address the fact and bring it into court, because then it'll open up to give the whole thing some air to the public.
Well, the other argument that they could say is it's so crazy that it's not even worth their time because going into court is incredibly expensive and time consuming, and nobody believes it anyway.
Well, you know, if you're Governor Dan Brewer, and I'm saying that you're also part of the Secretary Kathleen Celibus of HHS.gov, the Department of Health and Human Services, they're one and the same person. So at that point, we're talking about government officials here. They can obviously, if I was lying or if I didn't have anything to back it up, they would basically shut me up by taking me to court, because these individuals obviously have the means to do so. But when you use the ear biometrics, and for your audience that doesn't know what ear biometrics are, it's the landmarks of the ear. They do not change throughout your life. It is the most reliable way, other than a retina scan or a DNA test, that it is better than a fingerprint to identify somebody. And it's basically standard practice, and it's been used for decades in Europe as a standard way of identifying somebody. And that's why they take a profile shot of you when you go into jail. They're not taking a profile shot because they want to see a face. They want to get a good shot of your ear. So when I have the scientifically backed evidence where we can put the ears, we can do an overlay, we can do the mapping out of the landmarks and say without a doubt that this person is the same person, you know, at that point, what do? You know, they can't address it. So they don't. They just hope I go away.
And you yourself, have you experienced any backlash for this kind of activity?
Other than the YouTube account being taken down and my website being attacked, other than, you know, personal attacks, which it doesn't bother me one bit. They can say what they want about me. It's their opinion. Other than that, no, not really. I haven't really seen anything or heard anything. And that also plays into a lot of the perception management that people will say, you know, hey, you better watch your back. You know, these people are evil. And I agree, they are evil. But, you know, that whole perception management of thinking that if you speak the truth, if you say something that you believe in and you stand firm and you have stuff to back it up with, then, you know, they make you believe that you're going to be killed, you're going to disappear, or they're going to take you out. Well, you know, I'm here to say that I find it hard to believe, because they won't take a chance of doing that and losing everything they have. So basically what they do is they try to destroy you in the media, or do a character assassination, or they just totally ignore you whatsoever. So that's about the only thing that I've seen per this and effects from it. But, you know, since I do have a lot of the factual stuff to back it up with, we're seeing a lot of the grassroots type of, you know, support from people that were... I had over 2 million views on my YouTube account, and I had almost 10,000 viewers. So there are people that are interested in it, and I get constant emails. I get about 100 or so a day that come from individuals saying how thankful they are that I'm doing this, and then I'll get another 900 of them that'll say, you know, keep it up and keep doing this. And so I have a lot of support from individuals and that I know are real. So that's why I keep on doing what I do.
Yeah. And that's really important, isn't it? Because when you're working hard, and I'm acting under the assumption you're not getting paid for this, you know, and neither am I, is that it's the support of the people who are actually consuming the content and having a look at that stuff and appreciating it. That basically becomes your motivation in and of itself, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Those emails that I get from individuals saying that, you know, they thought they were awake and now all of a sudden they really are awake, they've taken this next step, that's my driving factor. I don't get paid for this. I don't sell this. I don't have advertising on my site. I make nothing from this except for just that satisfaction to know that I'm doing what's right, and that when my time comes, I'll be able to stand firm and say that I did everything that I possibly could to make this a better place. And for that, that's what I will keep on doing no matter what they say about me or what they do. They're not going to shut me up.
Well, if you're not getting paid or anything, how do you eat, mate?
Well, I'm fortunate that I live here in Dallas, and we have a thing called First Saturday, where we live in basically a technology corridor here in Dallas, where I get tons of computer equipment that I can basically get computers for $50 and laptops for $100 at these sales, these auctions that we have, and I sell them on eBay. So I can afford to do it that way. I buy bulk cell phones, and I use it. Basically take the gold out of them, and that's where I got my nickname from, the gold bug. I put that process of how I do that up on a gold recycling site, and basically people were telling me I should patent that, but, you know, that's just another thing I have to worry about, so I just put it up there for free, and people were using that method to remove the precious metals from scraps. So there's lots of different ways that I make making come that way. And, you know, I'm a simple person. I don't really, I don't have that much. So, and I really don't need that much. So.
We have a question in here from you, from the chat room. Do you know of Eric Orion of the Bush Connection?
No, I'm not familiar with that name.
Okay. Well, just a suggestion from the listener. You should definitely look into his work. Other than that, I find it's, well, when you deal into any kind of conspiracy, it depends upon your level of previous involvement, how crazy the new conspiracy will sound to you. You know, like I had a listener of mine who I talked about chemtrails with once upon a time, and he called me a bit crazy. And I just went to see him the other day, and he says, yep, chemtrails are real. And it just, it just takes some time to kind of process the evidence and to research into things for to a certain extent of time before you kind of get it, before it becomes clear in your mind what is actually going on, what the evidence is, that sort of thing. So in terms of actors in the you're talking about actors in high-level government positions. What about the first thing that came to mind when you actually mentioned that was the underwear bomber?
Yes, the underwear bomber. See, when I was looking at these actors, there was another common bond. And, of course, when I mentioned Kenny Bloomberg, Kenny sits at the he's the chairman of the board of the Independent Film Association of Southern Arizona. Now, that organization, there's many of these actors that we're talking about, many of these family members, of course, belong to this organization. And we can go through their list of their holiday photographs that they post to their YouTube site or their Facebook account, and you can see the same actors in these events. Now, one of those, which I saw, I just looked at, and my jaw dropped because here is the underwear bomber. And, of course, when you see that, and then you see that the other individuals that are involved in that whole event are his family members, again, then it makes sense that they're continuing to do what they do, and they're feeding it to the public, and we're believing that it's real. And just one of the other days, you know, with the underwear bomber, there was a rehashing of the news, and basically one of the individuals is Maurice Strong, and people know who Maurice Strong is. He's the inventor of the carbon tax, and he's a global figure. Well, here he is sitting there saying that he's one of the on the airplane on that flight, and he's sitting there with the black hat that he always wears in his other interviews. But of course, he's not going by Maurice Strong; he's going by a different name. Now, why would Maurice Strong be involved in a lie like this? It blows my mind. But you can see obviously that it's him. So, and when you see that he's one of the family members, and you see all his children taking part in all these events, it's the whole entire families that are doing this.
Well, we've got a family of actors, isn't that nice? It's like the Baldwins. We'll be right back after the break with Dallas Goldbug, ladies and gentlemen, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You can join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And we'll be right back after the break.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe all day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rushed towards $16.50 an ounce on bargain hunting. Gold last traded at $16.42 an ounce. Silver at $30.03 an ounce. ArcaWatch reports the Fed is upbeat about the economy. In their latest public release, businesses say they've moved from slow to modest or moderate growth in December. They see no inflation threat, but some of the governors believe stimulus plans have worked. Only time will tell, because the Fed sure won't. Fed officials will receive more detailed information before their policy meeting, but these reports are kept secret for years after the meeting. I think the lack of transparency is very telling. For how much longer will Fed secrets be kept? The Fed should be abolished before its 100-year anniversary. Meanwhile, I invite you to watch Freedom Watch on Fox Business. Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. starting tonight, Swiss America's Wizards of Oz 60-second animated TV spot will begin airing nationally on broadcast and cable networks. The new commercials, already viewed by over 100,000 people at YouTube. Check them out at SwissAmerica.com.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Yeah. Tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh, yeah. Sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh, we make it our business.
That's right.
To expose the bad, naughty business of the bad guys. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also wanted to give a shout out to my Kiwi affiliates as well. Ifinity FM, my man Greg Aussie Selman, who unfortunately has just lost his cell phone. Poor man. Okay. And also Roy Harlow in Hamilton on Rush FM. Just thought I'd give him a quick plug. Dallas Goldbug is my guest, the man who scavenges gold from old cell phones. Welcome back, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit? I mean, like, what are some of the things that you've always wanted to say, but nobody's really given you a chance?
Man, that's a good one. You got me there. You know, I wish that people would basically look at the Gabrielle Giffords event if they have any basically any doubts, and look at the presentation that I did on my website, and that right there will give you a good foundation, an understanding of what these people are about and what they're doing. And once you start to take that emotional roller coaster ride that I mentioned, you'll become more awake than you've ever become before, and you'll start to see these individuals pop up everywhere. And they've infiltrated the alternative media and the truther type of movements, and they've basically co-opted them. So, you know, just be very careful about what you do, who you associate yourself with when it comes to organizations, and just, you know, don't be afraid to speak your mind and make sure that, you know, you back it up with what you're saying. So, you know, really, I've been able to say pretty much everything that I've wanted to. I've really never been, been stopped except for, you know, my YouTube account. So I've been really happy and pleased with how people are taking this information.
And see, I'm personally, I just want to listen more and more and more, you know, because this is very interesting, of course, which is why you've devoted yourself to it. And the problem I find, though, is that I still have a difficulty grasping, getting my head around. So let's just try and sum up, if we can, actually. That might be a good idea. So there's a family on Earth who have... Basically, a lot of the members of this family are actors who take part in government drills, false flag terror operations, and such like that. And they also run government agencies and have a lot of connections within the establishment themselves. And you find that this one family pops up in many, many major keystone events that incidentally are used by the government to justify draconian measures.
That's more than a family. I'd say four or five families that I've been able to associate with the mainstream media, and because of the personal family photographs that I found of them. So it's about four or five families, and they're the ones that are the prevalent family members' faces that I've seen. But yes, they go back, as far as I can see, of course, the ones that are alive go back as far as World War II, and that we can track back with these photographs. But beyond that, of course, that would be speculation, and I don't get into that, but I would imagine that, of course, they just didn't start doing this all of a sudden. They've probably been doing this for quite some time.
Well, how long do you reckon, you know? Are we talking decades here? Like, who's the oldest and most famous member that you've found? I mean, what was his name? Franklin Delano Roosevelt springs to mind. I don't know why that comes up. That's just random.
I don't have any photographs of him in the family album, but the people that I do are Maurice Greenberg and Maurice Strong are two of the ones that go back far. But the other thing that you have is I have a photograph of a North Carolina beach home of David Rockefeller Jr., and he's actually in these photographs on the beach with his great-grandchildren and a bunch of family members. Now, these family members are, of course, part of the Greenbergs and Strong families, and when you look and see who they are, you'll see that they play parts in events that hadn't, at that time when those photographs were taken, they hadn't happened yet. So the events were Gabrielle Giffords' event, Quartzsite, Arizona, and Christina Taylor Green, of course. All those events, the individuals that were playing in those events are at David Rockefeller Jr.'s house, at his beach house, and it turns out that they're brothers when it comes to Jeffrey Katzenberg, Michael Linton, and Richard Sexton. Richard Sexton is the father of the Samantha Sexton, who is Christina Taylor Green. So when you see all these people together, a year before their events that took place at a Rockefeller's house, then all of a sudden you realize that who is funding this and who these people are, and they go back as far as the Rockefellers. And then, of course, you see the Rockefeller tie to Project Paperclip, And that ties in with Maurice Greenberg or Maurice Strong, because we've identified them as individuals that either are or played the roles in the Disney productions that were propaganda films during World War II. And Maurice Greenberg, of course, was Dr. Mengele, and Maurice Strong was Adolf Eichmann. And we can look at the ears, we can match them, we can see that they are, and when we look at Maurice Greenberg, he's lying about his age, because I have photographs of him at his 96th birthday party with Christina Taylor Greene or Samantha Sexton, standing right there saying, you know, the greatest grandfather in the world, and here he is at his 96th birthday party, and that was 2 years ago. So he's saying on his website that he's 86, and he's not. He's 96, and that's a very big a big problem, because that would have, of course, removed him from being able to be thought of as one of these individuals involved in Auschwitz and all that. But, and I didn't know this at the time, but I was contacted by a World War II researcher, and he said, I think he found Mengele. And I said, well, I don't know who that is. And I went into it, and I started researching it and looked at it, and that was the person. And you see the photographs on my website, and they're just indisputable. So, you know, at that point, you realize, were these individuals in World War II, are they real? Were all these faces that we know as Nazis, were they real, or were they actors being played by these individuals? And, you know, was the whole thing just another one of these fake facades to spur the people into the war, which we know who benefited from that war, too?
Well, the places where I'd expect these people to show up would most likely be intelligence agencies, because where else would you have more greater use for actors who can just BS people and then wind up using that as a justification to kill them later on?
Well, there's rumor that one of the individuals, Michael Greenberg, which is Maurice Greenberg's son, he also is the person that people would know him as, Dallas Green from the Philadelphia Phillies, the grandfather of the little girl that was supposedly killed. But there's rumor that he is part of Mossad, or he is running Mossad. And that would sort of make sense, because when you see that Maurice Strong, who I identified as Adolf Eichmann, well, Adolf Eichmann supposedly was hanged. He was he was basically taken back to Israel, tried, and then hanged for war crimes. But when you see the person that picked him up, and that at the time was a person by the name of Iser, when you look at the photograph of who he is, that's Eichmann. So he became head of the Mossad right after, a year after that, basically that event took place. And then come to find out that he's also the individual that supposedly was the one who planted the bombs in the King David Hotel in Tel Aviv. That basically was the first terrorist act that basically brought about Israel. So, you know, we have ties to these individuals that go back as far as that. And if those things are true, then you can see why these individuals were respected and are respected today within that crowd and protected.
Well, where you come from is what people judge you on to a large extent, isn't it? Apart from if you're a politician, in which case they assume that you just magically appeared and have no past.
Yeah, especially when you're from Chicago.
Yeah. Or in Arkansas, for that matter.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, it's amazing that, and we can see that there are definite individuals in this family that are running for political office that I haven't seen as actors, but I believe are legitimately running as office. And one is Verna Kmitz. She's running it for a New York seat. I can't remember exactly what it is, but she's the ex-wife of Dallas Green, Michael Greenberg. So when you see that there is definite ties to government, and then when you see that there's actors involved in it, and actors are these related to these individuals, it just really starts to paint a picture that is mind-blowing, but it also is totally understandable about how they can convince people that this reality is the way it is when it's really not.
Well, the shoot. I think that's actually a decent place to leave it, because when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, reality is one of the most difficult things to figure out. The things that are really easy to figure out are lies.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And I want to thank you very much for coming on with me today, and please plug your website again.
It's welaware1.com, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. You have yourself a fabulous day, and keep up the good work. And I hope you find a very, very big, you know, a mine full of cell phones.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Dallas Goldbug, ladies and gentlemen, you have a very nice day, and we will be back next hour with the report from Occupy Auckland. They're moving into a new camp, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe I will have Joe Carolyn coming at us live from Auckland to talk about this. We'll see you soon.
Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want.
BusinessAmerica.com reports gold prices rushed above $625 an ounce on bargain hunting in a weaker dollar today. Gold last traded at $1,632 an ounce, silver at $2,994. Well, I see the new Kansas City Fed president is worried about instability of the Fed policy, and author and futurist Lowell Ponte thinks we must put the golden handcuffs back on politicians. He was a guest on a Butler on Business radio show today. Lowell reminded Atlanta listeners that since Richard Nixon took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard, the cost of living is now 40 times higher than it was in 1971, and that's as measured in relation to the price of gold. This inflation deception is clearly seen in higher prices, although it's masked by higher income, says Ponte. Face it, warns Ponte, politicians will never stop going in debt. Perhaps the best we can do is slow them down. We should expect massive taxation and massive inflation. More at SwissAmerica.com or toll-free at 800-289-2646.
No rules, no rules, no.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, is the name of the game. Oh, yeah. Hey, and anybody else there who's been an activist or alternative media or anything like that will be able to identify with this. You work for years, right? And I think I'm in my fourth year of activism, filmmaking, radio show hosting, that kind of thing. I'm in my fourth year now, so I've done a lot of stuff. I've got like over, I think about 500 and something videos on my YouTube channel, and covered a very large cross section of different activists and issues, of course. And because I spread across so many different spectrums of discourse, because hey, conspiracy basically spatters out and goes like a web into absolutely everything. You wind up, of course, as everybody does when they tell the truth, offending both sides of every argument. Okay, and what's interesting is that when you do something that somebody doesn't like, that's when they'll make contact with you. Not the million things that you've said that they do agree with. They'll never talk to you if they agree with you. But if you do say something that they don't agree with, all of a sudden you get these abusive kind of Facebook messages and that kind of thing. And it's about unity, right? As I said. On the points you agree, you come together and you collaborate, you discuss. On the points that you disagree, you can just leave those for another time, because it's basically not worth arguing about. I mean, and not while we're dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff. And I think my guest, Joe Carolyn, has in fact just signed into Skype, so hopefully we're brought up, we'll be able to bring him up in a minute. And what I do, ladies and gentlemen, I do full-time. I don't have a solid income from this by any stretch of the imagination. We have a few advertisers, and when people buy the Blue Shields, when people buy the DVDs or anything like that, all that money is basically just, you know, I'm living hand-to-mouth, so that's just paying for the food, paying for this, that, and the other, and that kind of thing. Just trying to basically survive so that I can keep doing what I'm doing. So if you would like to subscribe and help me to continue my fight on behalf of pretty much everybody else and getting the truth out there, please go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com or guerrillamedia.co.nz. And if you could donate $5, like on a monthly basis, that'll give me some form of income to work from. And all those people who have subscribed already, I wanted to personally thank you very much, because you are really supporting something that is a well worthwhile investment for the people of New Zealand and the people of the world, allegedly. Now, my guest, Joe Carolyn, is here. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vincent. How's it going? Happy 2012, brother.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. I'm looking forward to the end of the world. How about you?
Yeah, man, roll on. Apocalypse now.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want apocalypse tomorrow or apocalypse later. You want it now.
We are living end times.
Yes, it's the end times. Hey, can, we wanted to talk about Occupy today, so could you just give a brief background on yourself for the listeners?
Oh, yeah, well, my name's Joe Carlin. I'm a trade unionist here in Auckland. I helped to unionize some of the lowest paid workers in fast foods and cinemas all over the city. And we've been involved in the Occupy movement from the word go, in that it represents the 99% versus the 1%. That's what we do in the workplace, so we want to be part of that movement.
And you've been involved in a lot of different movements, and that's the thing about being an activist, is that you can't just be a one issue kind of guy, because there's just so much stuff going on that to turn a blind eye to any of it, you just don't really become a person who has credibility. You, on the other hand, Joe, I mean, I've been to quite a few protests with you on a range of different factors, whether that be protesting against Israel's genocidal policies towards Palestine, and also the need for private contractors, particularly the Veolia Corporation, to get the F out of New Zealand. So it turns out that when we have somebody like you who is involved in a lot of movements on the show, but basically this can go anywhere. But today we wanted to specifically focus on the Occupy movement and the 99%, because today is actually going to be a very special day. It's the anniversary of Jumping Sunday. Can you explain to the listeners what that is?
Well, this was in the 60s in New Zealand. There was quite a large movement in New Zealand, primarily against the Vietnam War. New Zealand was sending troops to help with the American government's genocidal politics against the Vietnamese. And there was huge opposition, not only amongst the student movement, but also amongst the workers' movement here in New Zealand. We didn't want to see your people killed in a war against a third world country, which is essentially looking for its own independence, you know, first from the Chinese, then the Japanese, then the French, and then the Americans. So in the 60s, there was quite a large movement, massive marches, protests, etc. But they went to an area of Auckland called Albert Park, and created a free speech zone there. And there was a bit of repression and arrests and an attempt to kind of crush the movement. But in the end, they successfully beat the local council and the local authorities. And Albert Park, to this day, is known as a free speech zone. Now, it'll be interesting to see when Occupy goes up and does its thing there. does it still remain a free speech zone? We were campaigning for a living wage in that area around this time 2 years ago during the what they have a thing called the Lantern Festival, which draws hundreds of thousands of people to a very beautiful park. And the council and the authorities tried to crack down on us. At that time, I remember being surrounded by about 60 police officers when we were just trying to campaign to raise poverty wages in New Zealand. But that's the attention from some people within the Occupy movement to set up a camp there at Albert Park, which marks the anniversary of the original movement in the 60s, winning that area as a free speech zone, and staking out that kind of need for a movement, a need for critical speech today.
Now, I spoke to a couple of members of the Occupy movement today. Redstar 309s is the operator of the media contingent there, and they're marching up to Albert Park today at about, I think it would be 2 p.m., was it?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Okay, so anybody who's listening right now, you don't have to continue listening to the show. You know, jump out, get in your car, get down there, find a place to park, and of course in Auckland that's pretty freaking impossible unless you've got money to pay for it. I love private parking companies charging people to use public parking spaces. It's great. But the other side of it is they were also telling me that there has been an increased interest in the movement since after the eviction, which happened on the day before Christmas Eve. And you can't really call it an eviction because how many cops showed up? None. And since then, they've told
other cities has been faced with repression, but the state in New Zealand are using different tactics from what they've used, for example, in New York or Oakland. So we're not seeing naked repression here, but there is a threat that anybody who is maintaining the occupation can be arrested and taken to Mount Eden prison for contempt of court, and that would be a minimum sentence of 3 weeks in one of the hardest prisons in New Zealand. So a lot of our comrades are defying that. We've just had the Christmas kind of holidays and break here in New Zealand, so numbers did drop off during that. But we're seeing people coming back to the movement again. There has been some differences of opinions between people who are part of this movement. I mean, me, myself, I think one of the priorities that we have to have in this movement is to connect with ordinary working people and not just be at camp in and of ourselves, you know, falling in love with ourselves. Because we're not the force that's going to change the world. We can certainly start the debate, and there's no doubt that in 2011, Occupy has got people focusing their attention on that elite, that 1%, who do rip off the 99%. But in order to defeat them, we just can't camp against capitalism. You know, getting in a tent is not enough. We need to connect with the people who've got the power, not only to protest, but to shut down this economic system. And that's the people, for example, who do the hard work, like the wharfies, the longshoremen, the dockers down at the ports of Auckland at the minute, who are facing massive media attack, massive ideological attack. Their bosses down there are trying to casualize the workers so that they'll have no family life. They'll be waiting on a phone for a shift that could last anything from 2 to 15 hours. You know, this is back to the old Victorian days, but there's a really strong union down there, and those guys are willing to stand up and fight against all the media, the government, the local government, and the cops and the employers. We should be on their side. I think if Occupy is going to do anything this year, it shouldn't just be a bunch of students and hippies kind of camping and falling in love with each other, having a nice time doing workshops. It needs to get down to where the blue-collar working class are, the people who've been battling for decades, who haven't given up, but who have the strength, who have the industrial muscle, not only to defend themselves, but to actually do what we've seen people do in other countries like Greece and Spain and Italy, Egypt and Syria, and launch massive general strikes, which actually shut the system down, shut the flow of profits running to the 1%, and then posit the question, do we really need these guys? We don't. We could run society better ourselves. The ordinary people, the working people, would actually take care of each other and not see our profits siphoned off overseas to faceless shareholders and multinational companies we've never met. We would actually use the wealth that we create to abolish homelessness, abolish poverty, abolish unemployment. This is where we need to go for 2012. And if you like, this is the kind of apocalypse it should be. It should be the apocalypse for the rich in 2012.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Mayan calendar and all of that kind of stuff, it talks about the end. And what the word apocalypse means is actually the revealing of great truth. So it is their end, not ours, because they're the ones that are operating on lies and BS entirely.
Well, that's the line from Party HQ, Vinny. Yeah, why not? You know, this economic system has not been around for too long, right? When we think about the grand sweep of human history, I mean, the thing that sets us apart from most of our mammalian, you know, competitors and stuff was our ability not to compete, but our ability as a species to cooperate, right? In our small bands of 30, 40, 100, 200, we developed language. We developed the capacity to take care of our children or our weak and our old, to pool our resources. And that was the evolutionary jump that we made as a species. The ability to dream, to imagine, to speculate, to plan, to act, but to also cooperate. That has been how our species succeeded for the majority of our history. Class society has only emerged relatively recently, only about 7,000 or 8,000 years ago, since we discovered agriculture, since we created our first priest classes, our first kings and queens, our first ruling classes. And these guys have only ruled for a few thousand years, hoarding their wealth, using their priests. Nowadays it would be the media to bedazzle us or to accept our place. But in every generation, in every century, in every decade, there have been rebellions of the peasants, rebellions of the slaves, rebellions of the workers. But I get a sense with capitalism that just as other failed economic systems like Stalinism collapsed under the weight of their own contradictions, they could field massive armies occupying other people's countries, yet they didn't get the basics back home correct in terms of feeding their own people, providing for their own workers. Just as the USSR collapsed under the weight of its own contradictions, you start to get the smell now. You start to see which way the wind is blowing from Europe to the United States of America, the sense that these are castles built on sand and that there's a tide coming in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the USSR has now given way to the USSA, basically, and the exact same thing to the letter is happening.
Well, I watched this film called Ninth Company over Christmas. I got a chance to actually chill out for a while. And it's an interesting film. I mean, it was a bit raw, but it followed these kind of young Russian conscripts who'd been drafted into the army that invaded Afghanistan.
And we'll have to, I'm sorry, Joe, I'm going to have to stop you there. We'll have to talk about that that little doco when we come back from the break. Joe Carolyn from Socialist Aotearoa is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Occupy and goodness knows what else. We'll be right back after this little break here.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What you hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rushed towards $16.50 an ounce on bargain hunting. Gold last traded at $16.42 an ounce, silver at $30.03 an ounce. MarketWatch reports the Fed is upbeat about the economy. In their latest public release, businesses say they've moved from slow to modest or moderate growth in December. They see no inflation threat, but some of the governors believe stimulus plans have worked. Only time will tell, because the Fed sure won't. Fed officials will receive more detailed information before their policy meeting, but these reports are kept secret for years after the meeting. I think the lack of transparency is very telling. For how much longer will Fed secrets be kept? The Fed should be abolished before its 100-year anniversary. Meanwhile, I invite you to watch Freedom Watch on Fox Business. Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. starting tonight, Swiss America's Wizards of Oz 60-second animated TV spot will begin airing nationally on broadcast and cable networks. The new commercials, already viewed by over 100,000 people at YouTube. Check them out at SwissAmerica.com.
You're listening to the Future of Talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I think it'd probably be the only radio station where you'd really hear, the bulk of the Kiwi activists that I have on the show. You don't hear them anywhere else, except when they call in to talk radio, and in which case the government gets a transcript of the conversation every single time. And but they don't have to do a transcript for this show because we send them the link. Joe Carolyn is my guest. Hey, we were talking over the break about how you can't actually attend the march from Myers Park up to Albert Park today because you got to work. And this is actually not entirely dissimilar from how the bulk of Occupy protesters actually have to live their lives now, is because although they want to be there, and although the media demonizes them from being lazy hippie scum who don't have jobs or anything, they're all workers, aren't they?
Well, quite a lot of people, yeah. I mean, there are unemployed people and there are homeless people increasingly involved in the Occupy movement. And that's another indictment of the system, that there isn't enough jobs for people to get. And there isn't enough houses. Well, there is actually lots and lots of houses, lots of empty houses. I'd say in America, there's 20 million vacant houses and 3 million homeless. I mean, the solution there is, you know, glaringly obvious, and maybe we should go and occupy some of those foreclosed houses. But, I mean, yes, the bulk of people in this society who support Occupy, we're wage slaves, man. We need to go and we need to bust our ass and earn a crust to feed our kids and put a roof over their heads. And that's what we do, week in, week out. But I think, I mean, that's another important thing that Occupy's movement has to grapple with, I think, in that we shouldn't get hung up on a tactic, make a fetish out of the tactic. And what we need to do is evolve as a movement and actually look at strategy. And occupying public places is just one tactic. And that came to prominence, I suppose, this time last year, when the hundreds of thousands of people in Egypt started pouring into the center of their city in Tahrir Square to demonstrate against their military dictatorship there. But what they did differently that hadn't been seen in mass protests, like, for example, in Europe, there's been mass general strikes involving millions of people. But what people do after these days of action is they all go home. What was different about Tahrir Square last year was that the people stayed, and they stayed, and it grew and grew and grew until it became a seismic force within Egypt. Now, the critical thing that happened in the last few days of Tahrir Square that a lot of more liberally people don't really get is that that movement in Tahrir Square on its own did not bring down the dictator. And still hasn't got rid of the military behind him. But what the movement did was once it got to that critical mass of millions occupying not only Tahrir Square, but all the other cities in Egypt as well, Suez, Alexandria, Islamia, for example. And what the people did was take the spirit of Tahrir, take the spirit of Occupy, into their workplaces and onto their university campuses. And within days, huge sectors of the economy were shut down by ordinary people's rebellion, workers' rebellion. So, for example, the Suez Canal was out, the airport was shut down, the 30,000 buses that operate in Cairo were shut down, all by independent radical unions set up by the people themselves. Now, it's this kind of tactic. It's like the next stage where things need to go to, right? A lot of your listeners there in America, right? They'll be hardworking people, busting their asses week in, week out, right? Yet they're the generation, the first generation in American history, who are going to have a worse living standard than their parents or their grandparents. What people need to do is take a leaf out of their grandparents' history books and scrapbooks, and look at what people did in America in the 1930s when they were faced by a similar global depression. The workers up in Flint, Michigan, they occupied their workplaces. The big sit-down strikes in the General Motors factories in 1937 changed industrial relations and changed the power balance in the United States between the working class and the ruling class for decades to come. And if it wasn't for their struggle in the 30s, when those workers sat down and occupied their workplaces, then, you know, the living standards that American workers had in the 50s and the 60s, all right through maybe up until the 70s, you know, were the envy of the world. You know, none of those wage rates, none of those conditions were granted to on high by any benevolent Mr. Burns-style figures. All of them were fought by tooth and claw by our grandparents' generation. We need to start looking back to how our grandparents won our rights, and we need to fight these battles in our own lives. So I think just camping on its own, occupying central places, that's the first stage of our revolution. That's where you get the mainstream talking. That's where you get the front page of Time magazine calling this the year of the protester. But if you want to win your struggle, you need to go to the next stage and bring that spirit of the occupations into our workplaces too. That's what we're going to be trying to do here in Auckland with the fight on the waterfront that we're facing at the moment.
Yeah, well, it is the year of the dragon after all, and I don't know about you, but I want to see this entire establishment and all their assorted scumbaggery seriously just go up in flames, because there is no future for us unless we get rid of that hidden hand that is basically holding us all down. There's so many elements to this, and I think that's why... I think it was as Luke Rutkowski from We Are Change in New York said at Occupy, is that the reason why they haven't issued demands per se is because if you could, well, basically you can't, because there's too many things wrong to make a list of demands.
Well, that's where, yeah, if you like, Vinny, you're right in that this is not just a single issue campaign. What we're looking at here is a rejection of the system in its totality. And this is what terrifies the ruling class. Now, you mentioned that this is the year of the dragon. Well, I think it's very, very interesting that the struggle has now started to break through the great Chinese firewall. And we've seen, like, the struggles, like, for example, of the villagers in Wuhan, you know, 60,000 people occupying their village against the corrupt Communist Party in China. And the state capitalist regime of China, and actually defeating that government. I mean, this place is supposed to be, you know, the unbeatable secret police state that tortures and kills any dissidents, and indeed they do. But people are losing their fear. And the year of the dragon, it's going to be very, very interesting if that victory in Wuhan is followed up by more workplaces and villages getting involved. Nigeria, one of the most populous countries in the world, the seventh most populous country in the world, one of the biggest in Africa, at the minute is completely shut down by a massive general strike led by the oil workers. Millions of people in Nigeria just sick of the corruption, sick of their capitalist military dictatorship there. And this struggle is starting to go to places, you know, just actually extremely important in the world. India, in 2 weeks' time, will have the biggest strike in human history. Over 120 million workers going on strike together, again against corruption, against cronyism. People just sick of this, from Nigeria to India to most of the European countries, the United States in front of Wall Street itself. You know, this is very, very powerful times that we're living through.
Well, what people don't recognize is that those powerful times could have come at any time. It's only once people recognize their own power and choose to use it that we come into what you said before as a powerful time, right? And I feel quite saddened, actually, that the media itself is not covering Occupy in a two sides of the fence type of fashion, are they? It's just pretty much one side, the corporate media side. These people are hippie scum, and we don't like them, and they have no demands, and they're just all full of crap. And they never elaborate on any of the problems that why Occupy is there, and there are numerous ones of them. Like, I think I've made about nearly 20 YouTube videos now on my channel now, Joe. And I've put that all on a playlist. So if you go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, you go down to the playlist section and you click on the Occupy Auckland playlist, you can sit there for about an hour and a half just watching those videos after video after video. And by the end of it, you will know pretty much everything that I do about Occupy, virtually none of which, if I can say that, has been covered by the mainstream media. That is not a coincidence, okay? They don't cover the reality, because if they did, they'd be basically biting the corporate hand that feeds them.
Well, I mean, originally in our conversation, we were talking about the, you know, formation of class society being a recent thing, a few thousand years old. But the first kings and queens needed that priest class to bedazzle the serfs and the peasants and the slaves with their need to accept the hierarchical society that they're in. I mean, nowadays, the mass media fulfills a function, and its function is not to educate us, inform us, and politically motivate us. It's their weapons of mass distraction. Either they distract us with and then Sport or X Factor or whatever, or they distort fact, and they fulfill an ideological function. And here I include both their liberal and conservative wings. They frame political debate within a very narrow focus spectrum, and anything beyond those bullshit choices, you know, in America, Democrat or Republican, in New Zealand, Labour or National, anything that is outside that spectrum is never actually given enough time to properly explain its critique, and then therefore can be dismissed as irrelevant or too complicated to actually work. You see, I think people like you, Vinny, are the Martin Luthers of the 21st century, of the new millennium, in that we are bypassing a failed priesthood, the mass media, which functionality perhaps worked in the time of the 20th century. And it could fulfill and indeed defend its totalitarian regimes in that age of technology. But in the 21st century, you know, a 19-year-old Honda worker in China, right, faced by the riot police coming down to bash her head in, can whip out her mobile phone and video the cops along with hundreds of her sisters, and at the push of a button, put that onto IQ, which is the kind of like Chinese Facebook. And this is the problem that our regimes have now, that there are more of us who are citizen journalists. There are more of us who are witnesses to Rodney King-style beatings. There are more of us who are literate and who are communicating in a rhizomatic fashion, in a non-hierarchical, horizontal fashion. And this is the non-symmetrical info war that has people like Hillary Clinton terrified. They don't know which head to chop off, and when they chop off a head, 100 grow back, because we all see the repression that they use and we pass it around. Look at that cop who pepper sprayed the students sitting down in UC Davis. You know, he's been turned into a global joke, with millions of people laughing at him and laughing at the repression that he used on those brave students. This is the power, if you like, of the new media revolutionaries, and people like yourself. And, you know, we run a blog that gets hundreds of hits here in New Zealand, because people are actually looking for sources of alternative information that actually talk about the realities that people face. Now, we still have to contend with that priest class, with that mass media, but that is part of the system that we're trying to overthrow, and we know that.
Well, the system that we're trying to overthrow is overarching. We've got people talking in the chat room and about how economics is only one issue, and there are many. You know, I'd estimate close to maybe, goodness knows, maybe 1,000 issues or something of that nature of bad Shiite Muslim that's going down right now all over the country and all over the world. And there's a heck of a lot of interconnectedness, particularly with multinational corporations who have no loyalty to no people or no flag or any kind of decent common human sort of, well, humanity, really. That's what's happened. We've given the reins of power to those who are inhuman. And people become surprised that, oh, the society's running so badly. And instead of doing something about it, they say, that's just the way things are. I'm going to go back to drinking my Coca-Cola and drinking that fluoridated water. We'll be right back after the break with my very special guest, Joe Carolyn from Unite Union.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Percolite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Percolite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Percolite water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Percolite banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Percolite water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. Yeah, you know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant, because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
SwissAmerica.com reports gold prices rushed above $625 an ounce on bargain hunting in a weaker dollar today. Gold last traded at $1,632 an ounce, silver at $29.94. Well, I see the new Kansas City Fed president is worried about instability of the Fed policy, and author and futurist Lowell Ponte thinks we must put the golden handcuffs back on politicians. He was a guest on a Butler on Business radio show today. Lowell reminded Atlanta listeners that since Richard Nixon took the U.S. dollar off the gold standard, the cost of living is now 40 times higher than it was in 1971, and that's as measured in relation to the price of gold. This inflation deception is clearly seen in higher prices, although it's masked by higher income, says Ponte. Face it, warns Ponte, politicians will never stop going in debt. Perhaps the best we can do is slow them down. We should expect massive taxation and massive inflation. More at SwissAmerica.com or toll free at 800-289-2646.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out with me, John Zaskota, on Stranger Advice, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on American Freedom Radio. Radio. Radio.
Look at me, driving, and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the show that's all about sending Tomahawk cruise missiles to destroy small families. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the Predator drone manufacturing base here in New Zealand. My very special guest is Joe Carolyn, and we were discussing over the break about the difficulties within the Occupy movement. And Joe, I'd actually like you to just reiterate to the audience what you just told me.
Well, I suppose in any broad movement involving lots of different points of view, you're going to get, differences in emphasis, differences in tactics and things like that. And a lot of us who, there were two groups, more or less, who started Occupy here in New Zealand. The first group were people who were around the serious social movements, people like ourselves in the union movement, organizing low-paid workers, people in the Maori movement, the Tinoranga Tiritanga movement, the indigenous people here in New Zealand who are very strong in fighting for their rights and their land that was taken off them by blood and murder. And then we had a student movement up here, very strong, and that we were involved in, who'd been occupying their university against kind of neoliberal attacks up there. And so that was the first kind of group that called for Occupy. There was a second group, a much looser group, that had formed on the internet. We had some protests here when the government tried to crack down on file sharing, for example. And so this quite loose internet Facebook group, which didn't really have a lot of politics, or if it did have any politics, it had a kind of like a liberal or a kind of autonomous style, anti-political kind of culture, really. And that can be okay for a while, but it's when you're confronted with the state, when you're confronted with the police, when you're confronted with the need to actually reach out to ordinary people in their community or their workplaces, it's then that you actually need to develop a political critique of what you're fighting. We won't change the world just by sitting in a tent camping or playing guitars to each other. You gotta also know your stuff when you're faced with police repression. They're not a neutral force. They're not part of the 99%. They're there to crack skulls and follow orders, and when those orders are given, they will do it, right? Similarly, there was a lot of social struggles happening in Auckland City when we were maintaining the camp at big population numbers. For example, over in Glen Innes, we had a lot of working class people facing eviction. They're still facing eviction from their state houses so that the developers can cleanse the reservations of the poor people and steal the rich land to build villas for the 1% on it, right? Now, any movement worth its salt should be reaching out to those people in GI and standing on their side. And that's what we did as revolutionaries, if you like. We went out, we made those links, we helped the people organize, we helped march and occupy in their own area. And then in the end, we led a big march of local residents into the occupied Aotea Square in the center of Auckland, right? Now, we got a big battle with our workers down at the waterfront, right? What the people did in Auckland, Occupy Auckland, they went down and shut down the fifth biggest port in the United States, right? And made those links between the movement of students, the movement of unemployed and homeless and the poor, with the movement of organized labor, who've got the muscle, who've got the strength. They're the armed wing, if you like, of our movement against the rich. That's what we're doing at the moment. And I suppose some of the differences between guys like us who have been involved in social movements of the poor before Occupy came along, and we have got a little bit of experience in political news, and the more amorphous, autonomous, anti-political crowd who just seem to think that the world will change if I sit in my tent and my parents listen to me, I mean, that's become a little bit sharper, I suppose, and the need for a more worked-out strategy has been heightened.
Now, what do you feel to the idea of Occupy simply having a lack of leadership, and it would actually benefit from some form of command and coordination structure?
Well, command and coordination sounds quite Stalinist. I mean, I think that's a healthy reaction against that kind of old left hierarchical, authoritarian culture. I mean, I get that, right? But what we do need, I think, is we need organization, right? Occupy is a tactic. It's a tactic. There are many tactics open to poor people, those who want change, to use, right? You can strike, you can do a sit-down, you can occupy, you can demonstrate, you can march. What we shouldn't do is just get fixated on one tactic. We should all read Sun Tzu, The Art of War, and sometimes in a war you're flexible. Sometimes you need to know how to retreat in good order to protect your people. Sometimes you need to know how to ambush and move at lightning speed. Sometimes you need to know how to open up a second or a third front. So you just don't fetish one place or one tactic. You've got to look at how to expand and broaden the movement. 2011 was the year where Occupy actually made that political attack on the ruling elite. You know, the Tea Party, for all its energy, I think, was basically co-opted by the right wing of the Republican Party in America. Even though, I mean, I think that we shouldn't bail out one single banker. I think they should all go to the wall and be in prison like the people in Iceland have put the bankers in prison.
You know who should be bailed out?
The anger that people had against the banks and the bailout.
You know who should really be bailed out, Joe? Is all the people who got monstrously in fake debt by all these banks to scum. Let all the banks to scum go to the wall and give all the bailout money to all the people so that they can pay off all that fake debt.
Well, I mean, this is what us dirty revolutionaries have been talking about, Vinny. You know, you
bankers. I want to know, where's my bailout? About, you know, where's my freaking bailout?
Well, I mean, if these guys want to be called the risk takers, well, let them take the risk, you know, and you guess what? You risked and you lost. So goodbye, you know. And I mean, in Iceland, they're actually not only following criminal charges, but actually jailing their bankers, and we should all follow that. But I think coming back to what we were discussing, you know, is that the anger now against the rich and the banks, I think Occupy has focused that it is a ruling class. It's a 1% of people who benefit from this economic system by and large. And that has been the key breakthrough of 2011. 2012 is the year where we need to see that we need an organization that's an alternative to the Tweedledum and Tweedledummer lesser evilism, you know, Republicans and Democrats in the States, you know, both guilty, shoot them all, you know, Labour and the National Party here in New Zealand, both guilty, both run the system. They're the left wing, or the left cheek and the right cheek of the arse of capitalism, if I can say that.
That's crapping on everybody. and it's a very stinky, diuretic-type political party.
But I think, you know, in countries, we've seen that the ability of the ordinary people and the poor to organize their own organizations, you know, has risen again. I mean, in Ireland, for example, there's an organization called People Before Profit that a friend of mine, Richard Boyd Barrett, actually, you know, made a breakthrough, got into Parliament. I mean, they're with a group of workers who are occupying their shop at the minute in Dublin, who were laid off after working through Christmas and New Year's Day. And, you know, they're not getting their wages and they're not getting their redundancy. I mean, this is a sick economic system where companies that make huge profits, you know, treat their workers with disdain. And we're going to need action. We're going to need organization. So I think Occupy globally needs to look at how it started extremely well and won a lot of people over to the political argument of the 99% versus the 1%. But now what we need to do is move away from fetishizing a specific tactic for the movement and look at what do we need to actually set up permanent opposition to this system. And I think then the role of revolutionary organization is now brought into sharp relief.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I think that revolutions, and the meaning of the word revolution is basically to go in a circle, and in the end, everything comes back to the beginning. There's a time. There was once a time when all this tyranny wasn't quite so overt and reeking of scumbaggery with the left and the right cheek of the of the capitalist ass, as you quite so eloquently put it. And I think we just need to go back to the way things were, because there's nothing new under the sun. There was once a time when we had freedom, and we want it back. We don't want to go forward per se. And Joe, thank you very much for stopping in with me today and giving us a little bit of an update on the Occupy. Pleasure as always. And I'll probably be seeing you tonight down at Albert Park around 8 p.m. They'll be doing some speeches and a screening in Albert Park just across from Auckland University. And incidentally, when I was in Wynn's office getting a food voucher today, because my cupboards are bare, I told a girl there about the Occupy moving to Albert Park, and she goes, "Oh no, we'll have nowhere to relax while I'm at uni." Oh, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's a chuckle and a half, and we'll be back tomorrow.